So let's pray together as we begin. Lord, it is just a blessing to come into your house. Lord, today as we've chatted with folks already and maybe had some good time to talk and get to know one another, we thank you for that. We thank you for a message that we're going to hear today about times that may not be what we want, but what God wants in our life. And today, we thank you for the sun. We thank you for the warmth in this room, the music, the message, all the things that can touch our hearts and change our lives. We love you and thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. I like Matt Redman, Jason.
Yes.
Y'all did a great job on that one. That's nice. Very nice. Well, it's good to be back here again this Sunday, worshiping together. It's always good, whether you feel good when you come, or you're down and out, depressed. Maybe you just kind of feel neutral. You got issues on your mind. Life is great. It's good to come worship, isn't it? Really is. Really is. According to Kids Health, babies understand the word no between 8 and 12 months of age. When you say no to a baby, chances are they will stop what they're doing and they will look at us and think, no. The average toddler hears the word no an astonishing 400 times per day. 382 times, they do not even come close to doing what no means. A teenager, I don't need to say anything else. Sometimes God says no. He always wants to bless us, but sometimes we think he will bless us in a certain way, and it doesn't happen. It doesn't fit in with God's plan for our lives, so sometimes God says no to us. Today I want to talk to you about that very issue. When God says no. I want you to look in your bulletins. Charles pointed it out earlier. There's an outline that you can look at. The scriptures are there, and you can fill in the blanks as we go along. Now, let me say to start that God indeed wants to answer our prayers. Over 20 times in the New Testament, we are told to ask God. Ask and you will receive. Ask anything in my name, Jesus said, and it will be given to you. And if you read some of those types of verses, it sounds like prayer is an open credit line, that anything you want, you can ask God for, and you're going to receive it just like you asked for it. But the fact is, while God does answer every prayer, he doesn't answer every prayer in the way we ask him to. He does want to answer. Look at Jeremiah 33:3. The first part of that verse says, call to me. This is God speaking. Call to me, and I will answer you. But the reality is sometimes we don't hear God's answers, and we feel like Job. Look at Job 30:20. I call to you, O God, but you never answer. When I pray, you pay no attention. Do you ever feel like that? I love the Bible because the Bible is real. Real people, real circumstances. And Job said, God, I call to you. I ask you. And it doesn't even feel like you heard my prayer, to say nothing of answering my prayer. Read the Psalms. David says that kind of thing over and over and over again, which tells me when I feel that way, I can talk to my Heavenly Father about it too. He gets it. He understands. So what's the problem here? When Jesus said, ask anything in his name and it would be given to us, is that false advertising? Is God just teasing us? God answers every prayer we give to him. He just doesn't always answer in the way we'd like him to do so. Now let me give you three different ways God answers prayer. Sometimes God says yes, and we like it. We love it. Yes. Sometimes God says, not yet, or wait. Now, we don't like this one near as much because we don't like to wait, right? We live in an instant society, instant everything. Wait doesn't mean no, it simply means not yet, in due time. A third way that God answers prayer is he says no. Sometimes God just says, nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it that way. I'm not going to do it at that time. You'll get my answer, but the answer the way you asked it is no. Well, the Bible's full of examples of where God said no to people. Abraham prayed that Ishmael would be the son of blessing, and God said no. King David had a young boy who was ill, and he asked God to heal his son, and God said no, and the boy died. Sometimes we get into mental, theological dilemmas. We say to ourselves, if God is loving and cares for me and has the power to do anything he wants to do, then how come when I ask him to solve a problem, he doesn't do that? Think of it this way. As a parent, if you've been a parent or if you're an aunt or uncle, no, aunt and uncles don't count. They do spoil the kids. But if you're a parent, do you give your child or did you give your child or your children everything they asked for? No way. You didn't do that. Why? Because it was in their best interest for you to say, no, not at this time, no, never, no, not in this way. Sometimes as a loving parent, you said no out of your love for that child. And God does the same thing for us. Sometimes he says no. So let's look at some reasons why God sometimes says no. Number one, sometimes God says no because he has a bigger perspective. Remember, folks, God sees the whole picture and we don't. God has a larger viewpoint, a wider vision of our lives, of his plan, taking everything and everyone else into consideration. God sees in the past, he sees in the present, and he sees in the future, and we cannot. And this is one of the reasons God sometimes says no, because he knows more than we do. He sees a bigger perspective. Hebrews 4:13 says this, God knows about everyone everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from him. God sees what is hidden to us. We don't always know what the consequences of our choices will be, but God does. If we could see life the way God sees it, we'd have very few problems. We'd always know the right things to say, the right places to go, and the right thing to do when we got there. It's like the movie Groundhog Day. Did y'all see that movie? If you just want a brainless movie to watch one night, watch that. And you remember the character that Bill Murray plays. For a while, he couldn't get anything right. He lived the same day over and over again. The same thing happened. But he was always behind. He couldn't. And then one day, it happened so often, he figured it out. Remember? And he knew where to be, at what time, and what to do, just like clockwork. That's what God does. We don't see all of that, but God does. Our perspective is limited. We put a prayer request before God. We set off a whole chain of events, the implications of which can affect even the next generation. We don't know that, but God does. And when he sees in answering our prayers the way we want him to answer them has bad implications for us or for others, for now or the future, out of love for us, he says, Kevin, no. No. Look at Proverbs 2:8. God guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Sometimes God says no to protect us from unforeseen problems. We don't see them because we can't see around the bend. We say, God, let me get that job. Let me marry that person. Let me win the lottery. There's some big lotteries going on, aren't there? I keep telling God, I will tithe. Honest God, I'll tithe. I'll tithe. I'll give 20%. What's 20% of 750 million? Who cares? But God says, you have no idea of the implications of what you're asking because you can't see what I already know. And God wants to protect us. So sometimes he says no. Can you think of a time in your life that you're glad God said no to you? When your prayer wasn't answered and you just took God's answer as no, and at the moment or later down the road you found out, I'm so glad God said no. Ever been to a 15, 20, or 25-year high school reunion? I know you were grateful that God didn't answer some of your prayers because that big hunk of a guy you wanted to marry is now a big fat hunk of balding goo. And that babe you wanted to marry isn't so babelicious anymore. Sometimes God says no because he has a bigger perspective. Secondly, another reason God says no is because he has a better plan. God wants to meet your request, but plans to do so in a way that we wouldn't have thought about, that we could not have even imagined. God has better ideas about how to answer our prayer, so sometimes he says no to give you the better plan. Look at Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. This plan of mine is not what you would work out, neither are my thoughts the same as yours, for my ways are higher than yours. This plan of mine, it's not what you would have thought about, but my thoughts are different than yours. My plans are larger, bigger, higher than yours. Notice in that verse the word ways. Notice how it's plural. Underline that. God always has more than one way of doing things. Would you agree with that? He has unlimited alternatives. For example, if you ask God to meet a financial need, he might do it in several ways. He could increase your income or decrease your expenses. He could make what you have last longer so you don't have to buy something new. He could give you a gift. Sometimes God says no because he has a better plan, a different way of doing things. Our problem is we not only tell God what we want, we also want to tell him how we want it packaged and when we want it delivered. And most of the time, the way we want things is the easy way, not necessarily the way that will cause more personal growth or would be best for the most amount of people or would bring glory to God in the best way. We just want it the easy way. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. These were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better. You remember Daniel in the Old Testament? He was told to worship a foreign god, and Daniel said he wouldn't do it. And they said, okay, Daniel, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. And the way they did that back then is they didn't feed the lions for a while. And they were hungry. They said, we're going to put you in the lion's den if you don't pray to this foreign god. And Daniel said, no, I'm not going to. I'm going to trust God. My answer is no, I'm going to trust God. He said, I'm not going to pray to a false god. Now, I'm thinking somewhere in there, he said, God, I'm trusting you now. Don't let those lions get too close. I'm exhibiting a lot of faith right here, God. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. God did answer Daniel's prayer, but in a better way. He didn't stop him from getting thrown into the lion's den. He kept the lion's mouth shut all day and all night. God had a better way. Don't you think the people, the ungodly people who did that and who saw that, don't you think the next morning after a day and a night, something clicked in their head? Oh my gosh, maybe his God is the right way. God had a better way. I'm grateful that God has said no to some of my prayers. After my freshman year in college, I decided that I would come home for what would be my last summer. I would never come home again. I knew I was going to get into some missionary work while I was a student in college, and I was going to go a different place. I just knew this would be my last summer. So I came home, wanted to spend the last summer with my brother. I wanted to get a job that paid well, and I didn't have to work weekends. So I came home, applied for a job at Glidden Paint Factory in Curtis Bay, Maryland, not far, 15 minutes from where I lived. 15 minutes I could be at work. And everything was going well. They were going to pay me $10 an hour. And I know that doesn't sound like a whole lot now, but in 1979, shoot, that's good money. Good money. They said, all right, Kevin, you are hired. Go take your physical. Man, I was in shape. No problems ever in my life. I went through the whole physical thing, and I'm ready just to get started. And they called me in and said, well, we can't hire you. And I said, why? They said, well, you have what's known as spondylolisthesis. Spondylolisthesis means the lower part of your spine has a curvature to it. It's kind of like out of line. Now, I had level one. Level one means we can barely see it on the x-ray, and it will never affect your life, but you got it. And we can't hire you. See, I was going to be shoveling iron ore all summer long. At $10 an hour, fine. I lose the job I thought I had. I can't find another job, and the summer days are clicking off. The big savings I thought I was going to take to college back with me was gone. I applied and applied and applied and finally got a job. I had to drive 45 minutes just to get to my place, my job, to check in. I worked as a good humor truck ice cream driver. That's it. Do you know of what I speak? Here's how I'm like, God, you gotta be kidding me. Don't you know I'm getting educated to do your work? I drive 45 minutes a day to get to the job site for them to say, okay, you can work today or not. Because I was a temporary driver at first. I'd have to drive 45 minutes back to my house and not get paid anything if they didn't need me. I finally started doing some fill-in work, and then I got my own truck. Drive over the Bay Bridge, Chesapeake Bay Bridge, down on the eastern shore of Maryland. Another 45 minutes to get to where I had to sell ice cream. And this is before they had the tape recording that blurred out. I'm jingling the bells, man. I am. And while I'm doing that, I'm going, seriously, God? If you know anything about the drivers of the ice cream trucks, kids love them. So I'd have kids run out in the street and I'd stop. And you know what they would ask me? Can we have a free ice cream? No! 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 No free ice cream. So God just challenged me to make this into a ministry. So I started getting Bibles. I got Bibles from my church. And I would put 10 or 15 or 20 Bibles in my truck. And I did give out some free ice cream. I paid for it. And the children came and I got a chance to talk with them. Some of them were little kids. Some of them were teens. And I got a chance to talk with them. And I handed them Bibles. And I told them how to read it. Same kids every day. I'm doing this 7 days a week. And I was humbled. I wanted a job. God said no, and he gave me a ministry. For the rest of the summer, I had a chance to impact people for Christ. Sometimes God has a better plan, right? Amen? You remember the Apostle Paul? Paul wanted to go to Rome and preach a revival. That was his plan. And God said, no. Now that doesn't make sense to me. The Apostle Paul? God, I want to go to Rome and preach a revival. And God says, no? So you know what God did instead? God allowed Paul to go to prison. For he was chained to a praetorian guard. And every 4 hours, a new guard came and he got chained to that guard. And every 4 hours, the next, and the next, and the next, and the next, he was 7 days a week. And you know what God allowed Paul to do while he was chained to those guards? He wrote most of the New Testament during that time. What else did he have to do? He wrote most of the New Testament while he was in prison. And it's very interesting. The Praetorian Guards were very special people. They were chosen by Caesar himself. There was not a more prestigious group that Paul could witness to if he was going to win the Roman Empire to Christ. Instead of preaching one long revival message in the Colosseum, every day he was talking to someone else who, after 12 years of service, would become a very stationed, higher up in society, knowing Caesar. And if Paul had been tied up or chained to a different praetorian guard every 4 hours for 2 years, he would have witnessed to 4,380 influential people in Rome. And you want to hear something cool? Look at this verse in Philippians. The palace guards had an inside route to the emperor. And in Philippians 4:22, Paul says, "All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household." There were saints, people who got saved in Caesar's household because God allowed Paul to go to prison instead of preach a revival. That is incredible. Do you think Paul could have thought that plan out? God, let me go preach a revival in Rome. Paul, no, I've got a better plan. That's cool stuff. A third reason God says no is because he has a greater purpose. Isaiah 46:10, God says, "My purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." God's purpose will stand because he is God and he is not obligated to explain everything that he does to us. He doesn't need to check in with us to get our approval before he takes action. Now, God doesn't cause everything to happen. Sometimes Satan's involved, sometimes it's our selfishness and stupidity. But his overarching purpose will be carried out. And if saying no to our prayers fits in better with his overarching purpose for our lives, then he's going to say no. God's purpose for every believer, among other things, is that we become more and more like Jesus, that our attitudes, our actions, our perspectives become more and more like Jesus was. And to be more like Jesus, we have to go through some of the same things that Jesus went through. Did Jesus go through tough times? Did Jesus suffer? So must we. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an external glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, I've asked, and I think you have asked, different questions of God. People have come to us when we've gone through a very trying time, and they'll ask us, hey, I know you're a Christian. Where was God when this happened to you? Where was God when your family member went through this? Where was God when things literally fell apart and collapsed in on you? Where was God? I think God was the same place with us as he was when his son Jesus Christ was suffering. God allowed Jesus to suffer a horrific death on the cross. The night before, Jesus prayed. Do you remember this? This is big to me. Jesus asked God that this wouldn't happen. Remember that? Take this away from me. He was saying, God, here's my prayer. God, it's too much. I don't want to go through with it. No more, no longer. Stop it. God, take it away. But what did he say at the end of his prayer? Your will be done, not mine. God allowed it to go on. Why? Why didn't God just say, okay, no, it's not going to happen? He did that for the greater purpose of saving humanity. God let his son die so everyone else might have a chance to live eternally in heaven. He had a greater purpose. Sometimes that's why he says no. Folks, we need to realize there are going to be a lot of things in life we don't fully understand. Look at Deuteronomy 29:29. There are some things the Lord our God has kept secret. So when you hear God saying no, make an adjustment in your prayers. Thank him for the answer. Make an adjustment in your attitude, your behavior. Pray for more of God's grace in your life, your circumstances. You ever notice how children don't take the answer no very well sometimes, most times, all the time? But as a person grows and matures, they learn to handle the no's of life. It's a mark of maturity when God says no to your prayers and you can accept it. So, let's finish this out. What are we to remember when God says no? Here's a couple of things we need to remember. Number one, everything God does is motivated by love. This is very important to remember. Psalm 25:10 says, all the ways of the Lord are loving. Not just some, but all the ways of God are loving. Whether God says no to your prayer or yes, all of his ways are loving. Now, Satan's going to want to come to you and say, hey, you really needed this. Your family really could have used that. And you ask God, and your God, if he's loving, why did he not let that happen? Or why did he let that happen? He's not as loving as you think you are. And Satan might be able to get into your head and your heart based on circumstances you're going through. And he might begin to make some sense to you. yeah, God, why? I don't get this. Why did that happen? Just remember this, folks. Satan is a liar. And he will twist the truth just a little bit to find an angle to get into your mind or your heart. Be careful. Don't believe him. Everything God does is motivated by love. Even when he disciplines us, he does so because he loves us and he wants us to become all he wants us to be. Romans 8:28. In everything, God works for the good of those who love him. Secondly, God always gives us grace when he says no. Folks, some things in life are never going to change no matter how much we pray about them because God has a greater purpose. Paul had to learn this. Paul had a handicap. He called it a thorn in his flesh. We don't know what it was. We don't know. There's speculation. You can read all the commentaries you want. People have some ideas what it is. I don't know what it is. But he suffered in some way. This thorn in his flesh was tearing him to pieces. It could have been physical. It could have been emotional. It could have been, there's no telling, relational. And he prayed over and over and over and over again that God would take it from his life. And God said no. God had a greater purpose, and part of that purpose was to teach Paul to rely on God's grace. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 9. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Grace is God's power to handle the situation. When we are at our weakest, that's when God's power can be made perfect through us. Sometimes God won't say yes, but he will always give you grace enough to go through it and to grow and still to be used by him. Grace, God's grace is sufficient. God has an overabundance of grace for you for every situation at any given moment of your life and will give you all the grace you need to keep on going and growing and learning. Have you ever thought of how many grains of sand there are in the world? We live close to beaches here. You've been to the beach probably. The sand is not only what you sit in and play in, it's there in the ocean, under the water, it's still sand. You know how many grains of sand are in the world? That many. 7,500,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, That many? 352 quintillion, 670 quadrillion. You know how many stars are in the known universe? 70 sextillion. Go impress your boss or your teacher this week. God's grace takes all of those numbers combined, and that's where His grace just begins. There are a few ways you can respond when God says no to you. You can resist God's answer of no and say, well, if that's the kind of God He is, then I don't want to mess around with Him. You can turn your back and walk away. Or you can resent it. You can fill your life with bitterness, and you can doubt God's love for all the rest of your life, always second-guessing God, asking why. Or you can make your response to trust God. Psalm 9:10, those who know the Lord, trust Him. God is in control. He loves you. He wants the best for you. So trust Him when He says no. This past March, the beginning of March, coronavirus became real for all of us here in South Carolina and all around the world. And Crossroads Church, we were meeting at the high school cafeteria. It worked out really good for us, been there for years. Well, cafeteria doesn't belong to us, and the high school said, you can't come now. We said, fine, and John and Jason and myself were meeting together. We're meeting in our house, trying to figure out plans. And we thought, this will blow over in a week or two. Do you remember that? And then we just started doing some videos. We said, when this month is, we got it. We're going to go 4 to 6 weeks. We're done. And it went on and on and on and on. And God kept telling us, no, you're not getting back in the cafeteria. We're like, why? Come on, God. God said, nope. Nope, 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 nope. Well, I didn't know, and we didn't know, we had no idea that on this end, Charles and Irene had been talking and praying about space. They had a good amount of space. Maybe it'd be good to invite some other people. We didn't know that, but they were praying about that. We had people, no space. And I don't know when it was. When did you guys talk with us? June? Somewhere around June-ish? So God was telling us no. He was talking all with them. And on August 16th, God's no turned into two churches coming together to worship as the body of Christ. How's that for a no? Good stuff, huh? Good stuff. God will tell you no sometimes. It's okay. He knows best. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for saying no to us. We need your direction. No need for me to say we're not perfect to you, God. You're well aware of it. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of it. We're not perfect. Sometimes we're selfish. Sometimes we just don't know what the best thing in life is. I'm grateful, Lord, that you tell us we can come and talk to you. We can lay all of our burdens at your feet, all of our requests at your feet. There's nothing wrong with that. There's everything right with that. We just need to realize sometimes you say yes, sometimes you say not yet, and sometimes you say no. And when you say no, it's because you have a bigger perspective, you have a better plan. So we need to trust you during those times of no in our lives. Thank you that a no in the life of Crossroads and in the life of Calvary, we see the greater outcome of being able to worship together as your people. It's been wonderful. And we thank you for being a God who could see around the bend, for allowing us to trust you. Now, God, this goes all the way down to the personal level. There are people here are getting the answer no from you, and they need to know that that's okay, to trust you, to keep the faith, to keep working it out, wrestling with it in prayer, talking to other people who might have some wisdom and insight. May you guide them through their times of no. Now, God, during this time of response, we just ask you to bless our times and our hearts and minds as we say yes to you, as we find out ways you're speaking to us and respond to them. Have your will and your way done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's pray together. Lord, go with us from this place today. And we pray we will trust you every step of the way. We love you. We thank you, Lord. Go with us now through a great week. We thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.